Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
Welcome, everybody. It's Eddie Trunk, and it's time for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday, anywhere you get your podcast, totally free. Thank you for tuning in and downloading and subscribing and listening and whatever you do with a podcast. Thank you for doing it, and thank you for checking it out. As I always tell you, the interviews you hear on this podcast originated on my Sirius XM radio show. You can hear that live Monday through Friday in the U.S. and Canada from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Channel 106 Volume. Nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern, and of course, anything you want, anytime you want, on the Sirius XM app. Nightly re-airs of Trunk Nation 10 to midnight Eastern on the radio, and of course, like I said, on the app when you want. If you're only listening to this podcast, you're only getting a tiny, tiny sample of what I do every day live on the radio. So come on board and join me if you are in the U.S. or Canada. If you're not, and you're outside the U.S. or Canada where you can't get Sirius XM, well, this is another way for you to get a taste of what I do every day on the radio by bringing you a sampling of my interviews here on this podcast. And what a sampling we have for you this week. My recent conversation with Lars Ulrich of Metallica, talking about the 30th anniversary of the Black Album and a whole lot more. I've known Lars pretty much since the beginning of Metallica. Band has huge history in New Jersey, where I've lived my whole life. And I have personal history with Metallica that goes back a tremendously long period of time. And Lars, you know, the story goes on this interview you're about to hear that Lars actually was supposed to do this interview a couple weeks prior. And he was scheduled to do my show for about 40 minutes. And he got hung up on the Howard Stern show, which of course is also on Sirius XM. So he got to my show that day really, really late and only had like 6 minutes before my show ended. But he promised me that he would make it up to me and call back when he had more time. And he did exactly that a couple weeks later. And that's the interview you're about to hear. So there was another interview that was about 6 minutes long. This one, and you hear me reference it probably at the top, this one was a make good on that because I kind of got shortchanged on my time. But Lars, a man of his word, got on with me. And I mean, look, he and I could talk for hours. We have, but we clearly could very easily just being the big rock fans that we are. But I just got out of his way and teed him up a couple times and let him say what he wanted to say. And you're about to hear the results here in this interview coming up in a matter of minutes. Of course, the Black Album reissue is out now for you to check out in various configurations. We also talk about the companion CD, which is a bunch of bands doing covers of Black Album songs. And that was done for charity, so for a very good cause on that. We'll get to Lars here in a second. I want to remind you, if you are in the area of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, look for me this weekend at Monsters on the Mountain at the LeConte Center. I will be there all weekend as one of the hosts for that, along with my That Metal Show partners, Don and Jim. Also coming up, I will be at 80s in the Sand, Cancun, Mexico. Looking forward to that. And also an event with Tommy Scio in Atlanta on Halloween. All the information on all my appearances on the homepage of eddietrunk.com. And it just rolls on from there. Be sure to follow on Twitter and Instagram, especially both of those outlets where I'm most active, at Eddie Trunk. Like I said, there's a fan page on Facebook. eddietrunk.com is the website. And I am on Cameo as well, if you'd like a personalized video. What else can I tell you? A cool radio special with Sammy Hagar that I did on Catalina Island last week. It was a Q&A and an acoustic performance. It was a radio special that aired on my channel on Sirius XM Volume on 106. It's now on the app. It's replaying this weekend. Check that out if you're a subscriber. You will love it. I will not be able to bring you that content here to the podcast because there's a lot of music in it, but I think you will enjoy it for our subscribers to Sirius XM. Be sure to check that out. You don't want to miss it. Another cool radio special coming up. At the time I'm doing this, it's not confirmed, so I can't tell you details, but it's going to be awesome when that happens. It's great to have things going on and to tell you about cool broadcasts and cool events and have some of that coming back as well. I'm going to get out of the way here and make way for Lars Ulrich and my conversation with Lars. That is our interview this week, and it's coming up on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, as promised, my guest this week is Lars Ulrich. This interview took place a couple weeks ago on Trunk Nation on Sirius XM. Here it is in its entirety for you right now on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Enjoy. All right, we are back. We are live on a Friday talking rock with you, live with you daily here on Sirius XM Volume. It's Eddie Trunk. This is Trunk Nation. And this is a man of his word right here because we had him a couple weeks ago and he was extremely busy and we only had a couple quick minutes to say hello. And he said, we will make this up. I will get back to you. And that's exactly what he's doing. Joining me now live on the phone is the one and only Lars Ulrich. How are you, brother?
Hey, man. You know what? It's a beautiful day in San Francisco. The sun is shining. Good day to be alive, and always a pleasure to be with you, and thanks for having me, and sorry it was so nutty three weeks ago there in L.A., but it was we were just on that high coming off the great Howard three-hour marathon and with Miley, and then we had to kind of do a bunch of different things and then off somewhere else, and it was, being carted around, but of course, when I tell you I'm going to call you back, I call you back, bro.
You do, man. That. Thank you. I appreciate that.
If not,
you can
always text me and ask me what the fuck, right?
So. I know. I can always rattle your cage, but I know you're busy. I don't like to bother you. So listen, man, let me start with this. So how has it been to be back out there playing shows? Because you guys have done, we were getting calls, I was getting calls, hey man, Metallica's playing a club in Chicago and then playing a club in San Francisco and doing these little shows. And then, of course, you got back out on the big festival circuit last weekend. How has it felt to be out there playing again after all this time, coming off of COVID, still dealing with COVID? What's it been like for you guys?
Very emotional on every level. I mean, obviously, it's invigorating and it's inspiring and it's fucking, I mean, just great to get back out there. I think it's been, just about 2 years, maybe a little over 2 years since we stepped off stage at S&M. And obviously we did the drive-in thing last summer. We did an All Within My Hands virtual event and a couple TV appearances. But in terms of live shows with live audiences and that real deal, it's been over 2 years. So I believe that in the 600 years Metallica has been going, that's been the longest absence from the live stage we've ever had. So honestly, when we stepped on stage at the Independent in San Francisco, what, it's about 2 weeks ago now, definitely nervous, a little daunting. How do we do this again? hope the muscle memory, will come back. And obviously we've been rehearsing and prepping and staying in shape and getting the Peloton in on a daily basis and all the rest of it. But you never know. And so we had a great show in San Francisco. A week later, we had a great show in Chicago back at the Metro, which we played at the Kill 'Em All tour. This is the infamous show where I think it's in the Cliff 'Em All video and has definitely made the rounds where James is holding up the Kill 'Em All album that had just been released, I think, within a week or two of when we were playing there. And I think it's in Metal Militia. We're doing kind of a breakdown sing-along thing, and he holds Kill 'Em All up, and somebody in the audience snags it or jumps up and grabs it. And so lots of memories there, and full circle back, 38 years later. So much fun to be back there. That show was crazy fucking hot. They were having like a September heat wave. I think it was like 95 every day in Chicago. And up on stage at the Metro there, which is up on the second floor, it was about 195 degrees, definitely gasping for air through some of that show. But those two were great. And then down to Louisville a couple of days later and playing the Friday and the Sunday of the Louder Than Life Festival, two completely different sets. No repeats, which I'm super proud of. But that, in the, outside Friday night, it's 60 degrees, got a little elbow room up on stage. I have to tell you, the muscle memory came back actually quicker on those bigger shows than on the smaller ones. But so happy to be back out there, so grateful to feel the energy of the fans and their patience through all this shitstorm of the last year and a half with COVID, and so happy to reconnect with the fellas and my brothers in the band and play music and share that experience once again with a live audience and being in the moment and just feeling it. And I would say that, all is very well in Metallica in the fall of 21, but fuck, I hope for the rest of our career that there's not another 2 year absence from the live stage. So it's been definitely a bit of a whirlwind, lots of emotions, but happy to be back out there and like I said, happy to be connecting with everybody again. Obviously a little odd. We really have taken the COVID seriously and put ourselves in a bubble and not seeing anybody, and you're at a festival like Louder Than Life, and your friends in Judas Priest are in the dressing room next door, and our friends in Gojira, and our friends in Volbeat, and our friends in Disturbed, and all our friends in all the different bands that we've had so many experiences with for decades are all over the place, and we want to go hang out with them, and and engage. And so it's been a little weird to not be able to do any of that, but and not do the meet and greets and see the fans and in the, you know, fan club meet and greets and all that, signing stuff at the hotel. But we've taken the COVID stuff super seriously. And the flip side of that has been that our touring party, which I guess is, 12, 14, 15, we've been having dinner together every night, and we've been going to some movie theaters and hanging out, and it's actually bought the touring party super close, because we've just been hanging and socializing with each other rather than running off in four different directions like a bag of marbles. It's been great, but man, I'm so happy to be back at it again.
Yeah, you know, I hosted a festival a few weeks ago that I host every year in Oklahoma, Rocklahoma, and usually it's the same thing backstage. It's just that huge community of people. Everybody knows each other and going in and out of everybody's trailers and who's saying hi, who's hanging with who. That's one of the fun things about these festivals, especially when you know everybody. And yeah, everybody was bubbled up in their respective compounds and trailers, and it wasn't for lack of not wanting to see people. It's just the bottom line is you got to get the show in. You got to get you got to get to the stage and stay healthy, and that's where we're at right now.
Fucking crazy. I mean, it's just so crazy to we're up in Chicago, and we find out that Judas Priest is in town the same day we're in Chicago. Our brothers in Anthrax, we're hanging up in Chicago. My friend Les Claypool, was doing a Primus tour, was in Chicago the day after. I mean, it's just fucking crazy not to be able to see anybody. And so much for me, at least about touring, is the social element. When we're home and we're doing our thing and it's family time and so on, that's when sort of you're a little more under the radar. But being on the road, man, is about seeing your pals and interacting and getting out amongst it and feeling the energy and of the fans. And like I said, the meet and greets and hanging out, with people, it just gives you a sense of purpose. And
no,
odd to be locked away in your hotel room.
Totally.
And it's just, that's not what the DNA of touring is supposed to be about,
Right. And anybody that knows you, I mean, we've had some great hangs after shows or whatever and things that we've done. So that's just such a part of what you look forward to. And it sucks. But hopefully we'll get back to where that's at. Before, I want to ask you some stuff about the Black Album, obviously, which I know is still what's going on. But I want to ask you, you touched on doing the set and changing and at Louder Than Life doing different sets each night. And I looked down those set lists and I thought it was amazing what you did. And you did the Black Album on the second night in reverse order. But, Lars, as and one of the things I love about you so much is you're a fan first and foremost, like me. We're just fans. And that I get calls all the time from people who go to see their favorite bands. They're like, it's the same friggin' set list every year. And a lot of times I'll talk to artists about this and I'll be like, why don't you change it up a little more? And they'll tell me, honestly, that they don't want to put in the work to have to rehearse all those songs and have them all down tight. You guys have put in that work, because to do two headlining sets and not repeat a song is amazing. What was the prep like to be able to do that?
Oh, I appreciate that, man. First of all, the prep, the easy answer is the prep is never enough. I mean, we certainly are not, and I'm sure you and I have talked about this before, we're certainly not one of those bands that lock ourselves down for like a month and do, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day type of rehearsal. I mean, we obviously got to familiarize ourselves with the songs. And we got to, so much of it, obviously, at this age is just getting in shape and getting the physical elements, back up to par. There are, in the last 10, 15 years, as we started getting away from the kind of repeating the same set list every show, we forced ourselves, I think it was maybe the St. Anger tour, so I guess it's coming up on 20 years now. We started offering the shows, making the shows available for download, and you know, if anybody wanted to take every show that we were playing live, people could take home. You get, you know, MP3s, CDs, whatever, and that sort of made us change the set list. I guess we're close to 20 years on that. So we haven't played the same set twice in almost 20 years, which I'm super proud of. But there's about 50 or 60 songs, give or take, that we've been playing for the better part of the last 15 years that we can sort of roll into, not necessarily at a moment's notice, but it's not like starting from scratch. So if you said some crazy play, I don't know, Attitude from Deep Inside Reload, that would be, that's a harder proposition. You know, I got to sit down and kind of learn that and how to, whatever. But let's call it the 50 or 60 songs that we can sort of kind of punt our way through if we need to. So, and we've been playing, when we play doubles and triples and so on in cities, we pride ourselves on obviously going deep, but there are some songs, Enter Sandman, Master Puppets, One, that are kind of mainstays of the set, obviously. So to play two sets, that was kind of the dare that Danny Wimmer and his crew who run these festivals, when they came to us a couple of years ago, we want to do something we've never done before, which is have a Metallica show bookend the Friday and the Sunday of the festival. And then you guys would play, quote, unique sets. Now, unique sets, obviously, as you know, can mean anything as long as right. It's just different. You could take the same set and just slip it on its head or leave out a couple songs or whatever. But we took the dare all the way to the finish line and didn't repeat any of the songs. And so I guess we were, what, 33, 34 songs in by the time we were done over the weekend. It was super fun. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said it wasn't challenging. Always, I think anybody that knows us well knows that we always sort of, you know, it's a bit of a high wire act. We always feel 10% under rehearsed, but that also makes it a little more the energy of the moment. You feel like you're really fucking in the moment with the rest of the guys in the band, with the audience, because you feel like you're never more than, like, you know, if you lose your focus, you know, falling off the high wire. And so it also makes it feel sort of more like alive or more real or more kind of just crazy cool, like there you are.
Dangerous, spontaneity. So, that's what the whole beauty of live is.
Exactly,
it's the live,
yeah.
Without
and so
a
I
net.
Think that,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you and I mean, we've done the talks late at night about the Deep yeah. Purples and, you know, Ritchie Blackmore will take a solo back in 1972 and he'll just keep soloing till he doesn't want to solo anymore. And then he'll look
sure.
over at Ian Paice and then they'll go into the third chorus or whatever. And obviously there was a great impulsivity, a great spontaneity, a great momentary energy that came out of that, which to a degree, I don't want to get on my high horse here, but certainly the live dangerous element has been missing a little bit. I'm not saying that we fulfill that, but I'm just saying for us to be able to go out and play different songs every night keeps us sort of invigorated, keeps us focused, keeps us sort of in the moment. And I think it's a way to make sure that you don't drift off on autopilot. But there were a couple moments. I mean, there were some deeper cuts on the Black album, The Struggle Within, My Friend of Misery, a couple of those. I don't think we've played for 10 years. And as you're kind of going through those live in front of 40, 50,000 people, it's like, holy shit. No matter how much you rehearse, it's still the first time you play them. It's like the ultimate rehearsal is the first couple of shows is when you play them in front of people. And it's still, you're kind of sitting there going, holy fuck. how are we doing here? But I think I think people appreciated the fact that we put the time in and they got to see two completely different sets.
Yeah, no doubt. So talking about the Black album, and of course the reissue is out now, and it's been brilliant what you've been doing, going through the catalog as everything hits 30. We talked about Justice, which was the last one, of course. Now with the Black album, there's a few different angles to this. Of course, you got the Blacklist, which is the tribute or the tribute record to the Black Album is the way to look at it, and that's for charity, and that's wonderful. 53 artists. I want to ask you about that in a second, but going back to the original Black Album, in the few minutes that we had when we talked a couple weeks ago, I'd mentioned this to you. As somebody that was with Metallica and played Metallica on the radio from day one, from Jump in the Fire, Kill 'Em All, that period, it's astonishing to me when I remember that band to think of where the Black Album is and the success of it and how it's looked at still 30 years ago. I imagine it's even as amazing to you to think about a band that, you know, in 1983, you couldn't find a more uncommercial band. You know, I literally had Johnny Z knocking on my door, begging me to play Jump in the Fire because no one would play it on the radio. And I'm like, yeah, come in. It's crazy. Like, what, you know, and to think of this from my perspective, and I'm sure your perspective, to think of what's happened is amazing. So revisiting the Black Album, revisiting what this record did for your career and Metallica 30 years later, how has this whole experience been for you? Not only playing it, which you did in reverse order, but remastering it, having artists do tribute songs to it, the whole experience for you, looking back on it and revisiting it, how's it been for you?
I would say, well, thank you for that. I would say the first two words that come to mind is it's humbling and it's surreal. I have a real hard time with you know, if you sit, imagine you and I sitting in L.A. in 1990, 1991 as we're doing this record. And you know, it's a shit show down at the studio, and we're trying to make it happen, but, you know, everything is difficult, and you know, we're new producer, a new studio, and some the new attitude and so on. And imagine if we'd sat there 30 years ago, 31 years ago, as we were trying to make this thing happen, that in 2021 this record would have the kind of life, the kind of legs, the kind of trajectory that it's had. I mean, that would be inconceivable because, as you hit upon yourself, back then, the type of shit that we were doing up through the 80s, the type of shit that, you know, the bands like us and the rest of our brothers and the other bands that were coming up through the same channels, it didn't exist in the mainstream. It connected with a select group, and obviously that select group was fucking passionate and in it 110%, but it was something that lived in its own world. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so the fact that 30 years later, a hard rock metal record, whatever you want to call it, can have that kind of life, that kind of trajectory, is a mind fuck and a half, isn't it? and to be honest with you, I haven't done that many interviews. I think I did maybe half a dozen interviews about 3-4 weeks ago, and everybody I was doing these interviews with, they were so gracious and they were so complimentary, and they're sitting, you know, they use words like legacy and, you know, timeless, you know, and one of the all-time classic records in the company of whatever, you know, these five biggest records of all time. And it's just, it's so fucking weird to me that anything that we do just lives in that same, in that same category. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, maybe it's a combination of COVID sitting rethinking your purpose, rethinking your, you know, your priorities, being locked up for a year and a half, you know, as you get older, not taking anything for granted, all that stuff. But, you know, obviously, over the course of the years, you know, we've been confident, we've been cocky, we've spoken our momentary truths in interviews and stuff like that. But nowadays, and at times we may have been, or at least speaking for myself, have been, you know, maybe more, yeah, you know, fuck yeah, biggest record or, you know, all that stuff. But right now, in my current headspace, post-pandemic, and just kind of where we are, you know, mid-50s and knocking on the door of late 50s and the big 6-0, you know, coming up in a couple of years and all that. I mean, the fact that we're 40 years into this and people still give a shit, it is, like I said before, a total mind fuck. And if anything, I just feel so appreciative and humbled. And it's just, it's a little surreal when I sit and look over the 53 artists that are gracious enough to take time out of their lives, their careers, to play some of these songs, to cover them, to help us with our charity, and to say all these crazy nice things about these songs and this record. Sometimes it's almost like I end up removing myself a little bit, that Metallica becomes also a third-person thing for me. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this band Metallica. Hmm. I think the other side of that is that just kind of as you move along in time, I think we used to really feel that, you know, Metallica, we are Metallica, we own Metallica, we steer Metallica, we fucking control it, all that shit. Now, to me, I've started kind of tripping on this in the last couple of years, is that Metallica is more like a state of mind. Metallica is something that is for everybody, belongs to everybody. It doesn't just belong to, you know, the four of us or whatever. It's like Metallica is for everybody. Metallica is, as cheesy as it may sound, we're like the shepherds. We're the ones that are sort of steering it. But Metallica is a state of mind, is an attitude, and it's something that connects all of us through music and through hard music. And so it's almost like a vehicle to connect to other people around you. Does that make sense?
Completely. I understand what you're saying.
That's kind of my state of mind about all of this in 21. Now, you know, I'm sure you and I hopefully will speak again all the time, and maybe 5 years from now I'll have a different outlook on it, or 10 years from now I'll have a different outlook on it. But right now, where my head is at, and with what we've been through as a people, as a planet for the last year and a half, that's where my head is. So it's just I'm grateful and humbled, and the whole thing's kind of surreal that the record can have this kind of effect. But fuck, I'll take it, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
What Lars was referencing is The Blacklist, which is the companion piece to the reissue to the Black Album, which, as he mentioned, 53 artists covering 12 songs, which means there's going to be a bunch of repeats in there and people taking different takes on different songs.
That's right.
I'm curious, and we should mention again, amazing stuff that you guys do charitable. All the proceeds on the Blacklist record will be donated to charities, including All Within My Hands. But Lars, how did that work as far as the reach out to the artists? Because it's a really eclectic mix of artists. There's some people on there that heavy rock fans are certainly going to know. There's some people they won't know. There's emerging artists. There's people from different genres of music. That speaks to how much the Black Album made an impact on such a wide variety of people beyond the metal community. But when you guys had the idea to do the Blacklist, I know you're into all kinds of music as well. How did you make that reach out? How did you decide? Was it the whole band came up with a list? Hey, let's go to this person, see if they want to do it. How did that process work?
Yeah, I mean, it's like most things, at least in our world, they don't start out with necessarily with a vision of what you end up with, the end product, or I hate using the word product, but where it ends up. So the initial idea was we were appreciative in knowing that there were a certain number of crazy cool artists that would talk about the Metallica influence, and we're sort of, you know, aware of who some of those would be. So it started off by, you know, we had never curated anything like this before. Obviously, there had been many different way cool, 12 Finnish hard rock bands pay tribute to Master Puppets, or you know, the best of the Korean death metal bands interpret Kill 'Em All, or you know, bluegrass Metallica style, or hip hop and rap and Latin American EDM guys do, you know, Reload backwards or whatever. I mean, there's been obviously a lot of those things, and so many of them so cool and inspiring and different, but we had never curated anything like that before. So the idea was really to just get it at, the keyword was really diversity. Get it out to as many different artists as possible, from as many different musical backgrounds as possible, as many different genres, as many different countries, as many, you know, gender, you know, the whole thing, just on across the board, to make it truly a diverse package and a global package, and have so many just different interpretations, not put any boundaries on what it should, it shouldn't be, and also not tell anybody. I mean, how are you going to sit down and tell an artist that you respect, oh, wow, thanks, Dave DeGahan, for joining in. You've been assigned a wolf and man, and thank you, Phoebe Bridgers. We assigned you Sad But True. I mean, that's not how this works, and you're not going to tell a fellow artist what they can and can't do. So we basically realized that the only way to do it respectfully was to let everybody just pick whatever songs they wanted and do whatever interpretations that they wanted, and that would be the beauty of it, would be the diversity of that. And other than, you know, if you have a charity that you'd like to suggest, let's split it with All Within My Hands and be as cool and as free as possible in the musical interpretation, and off we go. And obviously these types of endeavors, you reach out to maybe more people than you think will show up, and then most of them showed up, which was crazy, unexpected. But at the same time, what are you going to do? You're not going to sit there and go, "Oh, we're having a 90% yes reply." So you, sorry, you know, come back for the Load and Reload tribute album. I mean, that again, that's not how that's going to work. So all of a sudden we ended up with this incredible number of great artists, and obviously I understand it's a big package, big project, and it, you know, for me, there's still, you know, obviously of having heard all of them, but immersing myself in them and you know, it's a package you can keep coming back to and hearing different things, obviously with 53 different versions. But that was sort of the process in a nutshell. It started off with just, let's ask a few of our friends and our peers if they will join in, and then, you know, these ideas snowball, I guess is an applicable word. And then we ended up with this crazy, enormous project. But I think that it's one that hopefully will stand the test of time, and that the fans, like you said, it will give a lot of the Metallica fans a chance to rediscover different things and different artists and different genres and different interpretations. And as you said yourself, all four members of Metallica and Jason Newsted and Cliff Burton and so on were all about diversity in music. So I think it really mirrors the attitudes and how all the members of Metallica feel about all the different genres out there.
Yeah. Hey, man, there's a million things I'd love to talk to you about and a million rabbit holes I'd love to go down, but I know we don't have the time and I have to end in 5 minutes.
But I can always call you back, Ed.
Monday's another day, Lars. We could do hours. I would love that.
Metallica, you know, we can go down.
Don't threaten like that. Don't threaten like that. The audience would love it, man. We could do hours and hours because I'm just, my mind's firing on all these things I'd love to hit you with. But in the last few minutes that I have, I'd be killed if I didn't ask you or bring up the mandatory Metallica channel being back right here on SiriusXM. Come on, I know that's got to be a lot of fun, and you dig into right?
Cool. Fuck yeah. No, how cool. I mean, you guys are so gracious that you always invite us to come back to the channel, and I think as we get more comfortable with the format, we also get more adventurous, and this time we all rolled up our sleeves and I think got even deeper entrenched, and everybody came up with playlists, and everybody did I guess I'll refrain from using the word DJing, but we did some ins and outs, and we recorded a bunch of things that you guys could use, and I mean it's been great. It's so much fun to be able to share songs that we appreciate, hard rock artists and non-hard rock artists, and you know I've curated like a new wave of British heavy metal show, and we've talked about some of the artists on the blacklist, and we've talked about some of the Black Album experiences and all of that. So, and there's been all these crazy live shows and crazy deep cuts and rarities. And here's a song where we left out an entire chorus one time. And here's a, I mean, all this stuff nobody should hear, but it's really fun to sit 20 years later and laugh at or have a chuckle or share with the fans, obviously. And, so it's been great to have the channel back up. I think it's on the app now for the rest of the fall, and then I think it's going to come back on maybe again around the 40th in December. I hope I'm not letting some cat out of the bag. I'm not supposed to, but I know it's on the app right now, and
yeah.
I think I'm going to record some more stuff for the channel probably next week, and I the team asked if I would asked all four of us to come up with some obviously we love sharing what we're into, and come up with some non-Metallica songs to play, obviously, and I think I ended up giving like 300 or 400 songs. I just went through it alphabetically and some of my iPods, and here's this Blue Oyster Cult song that everybody has to hear from some album, this crazy deep cut album, or I don't know if all the Metallica fans know Dominance of Submission, or here's some Warrior Soul song everybody has to hear, whatever the fuck. So I mean, it's been so cool.
But that's cool. That's cool. That's
to
awesome.
To be able
that's...
to share that and yeah. What I've heard, the feedback I think has been better than ever. And obviously I think as more artists get comfortable with the format, I mean, obviously you guys have some great stuff with the U2 channel and the Tom Petty channel and, you know, a bunch of crazy cool artists. And so we're trying to just be, to kind of do that same thing with what we can throw our fans way. And so far the feedback's been exceptional. And like I said, I think all of us are going to keep recording stuff throughout the fall as the channel lives on the app for the rest of the fall, and then hopefully we'll circle back again on the radio dial.
Well, listen, man, I got to end because they'll clip me if I don't. I can't thank you enough for the time. And I'm dead serious, man. You know how to reach me. I know how to reach you. I know you're busy, but anytime there's hours, there's so much stuff I'd love to get into with you, but I know you're busy. When you have time, we'll do it. And
yeah,
in December, we should mention.
We've got a bunch of adventures coming up for the rest of the fall. I'm happy to stay in touch. And
yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll check in with each other, and I'll give you some updates from the rabbit holes.
Please do. And I might try to make the show, if I can get there in December, the big 40th show, San Francisco.
Please do.
That'll be amazing.
We would love to have you. Hopefully you can make it.
Hopefully by then we can actually, people can actually be in the same room together. So we'll see where we're at that point, too. But anyway, man, best to your family. Congratulations on everything. And thanks so much for taking the time, Lars.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Eddie.
It, man.
Great to catch up with you. Much love from San Francisco. And I'll see you not soon enough.
Well, Lars is certainly a man of his word, and we could certainly talk for hours and hours and hours. And that was about 40, 45 minutes of conversation with Lars. Great to visit with him. As I mentioned earlier, you heard me reference it at the beginning. We kind of got cut short the first time we were supposed to do that. So it was cool to be able to have Lars back on and have him get us some additional time in his very busy schedule. The Black Album reissue is out there right now, along with the Blacklist, the latest, or I should say the companion CD for charity to the Metallica Black Album reissue. Be sure to check that out. About 52 artists covering songs from the Black Album. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to Joel Pollack for putting it all together for me. Listen for me on the radio each and every day on Sirius XM Volume 106, and I'll catch you back here next Thursday for another all-new Eddie Trunk Podcast, free wherever you get your podcasts.